Blog Talk Radio.
This is Dwayne Rahman, and you're here in Dwayne's Career Connection, where the perfect candidate plus the perfect client equals the perfect match. We're excited here today because I have a special guest co-host with me, and I want all my listeners and followers to give her a warm welcome. Her name is Bridget Hyatt. She's the CFO and Human Resource Director that specializes in business strategy while concentrating on the solid accounting practices and procedures. Bridget has held positions with the Department of Defense and large technology firms in the Philadelphia area, including Comcast. But just the interesting side subject matter. She's actually from Wisconsin, but we won't hold that against her. But prior to that, she owned and operated her own startup dealing in billing practices and HIPAA compliance over in Wisconsin. And Bridget is also the seasoned forensic accountant and fraud analyst with over 15 years of experience. She holds a bachelor's degree in managerial and managerial finance. She also holds a master's in professional accounting and taxation. And in addition to all that, she's currently completing her CPA and her doctorate in business administration. So we want to give our guest a warm welcome, and we're going to bring on Bridget right now. Bridget, how are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much for having me tonight. This is such a pleasure for me.
You got to bring out that Wisconsin accent.
Woo, go Cheeseheads.
There you go. You know, those Green Bay Packers and the Cheesehead fans out there, yeah, go green and yellow, but the only green I like is the Eagles. But
well, we are just so cheddarific and so wonderful being from Wisconsin. So
there you go, Wisconsin. I like that. I'm gonna have to start using that now. But so I'm glad you're on our podcast, and we're excited to have you know on me personally because you know just having a conversation with you earlier, I really appreciate you know just having the opportunity to talk to you even more. You know, just to get your views on life, you know, your views on, you know, as it relates to, you know, your personal life, you know, work life and trying to pull all that stuff together. And that's why today's topic is really centered around the work-life balance. And Bridget, I want you to tell our listeners out there, you know, personally, like, what do you think the meaning of a work-life balance means to you personally as a woman in your position, you know, where you have to take on the responsibilities of being a leader on the corporate side, but also you have to handle responsibilities in your household and in your personal life.
So I saw a quote once that really struck a chord with me, and it says, balance is not better time management, but better boundary management. Balance means making choices and enjoying those choices. So when we talk about boundaries, you know, and we talk about working in the corporate world, we want to do our best. We want to please our bosses. And if we are the boss, we want to make sure that our employees are able to work in an environment that is, you know, conducive to them growing and learning more about their positions, but also making the business successful overall. And sometimes we feel, oh, I got to work, you know, 75 hours a week in order to make that happen. And I'm not so sure that that's the case. There are some arguments that can be made that it really comes down to time management of how you're actually performing the task and how you're doing the task, versus how much energy and effort and time, meaning duration, that you're putting into it.
No, and that's a great point because a lot of people spend a lot of hours working, but they're not really accomplishing much. I had a director who once told me when I first started off at Morgan Stanley back in Boston, he said, "You guys do a lot of avoidance behavior," meaning it kind of coincides to what you just said. You can spend a lot of hours working, but are you really being productive in your work? Now, what he meant by that, you had a lot of guys, you know, we were like financial, you know, analysts or advisors or, you know, money managers, and a lot of people would sit there and do research and look at the, you know, stock market report and do all this stuff and, you know, reading all this information for, you know, 2-3 hours. But what are you doing? How are you actually bringing in business? You know, what are you actually capturing clients? But you spent 3 hours of the morning just doing research, and now you're actually in the office to 9 o'clock. But when you could have, you know, just go in and actually do your business or do your work, go out, find clients, bring in assets instead of, you know, doing the research. So he would always make that time doing avoidance behavior because you're not really working. Yeah.
Well, procrastination is avoidance behavior in some way, right? So procrastination can be seen as a sign of perfectionism in some people. So, you know, we avoid things for the pain response, and we do things for the pleasure response. So what we believe in our minds doesn't necessarily equate to the reality of what the situation is. So Wade Goodall said something that I thought was really interesting. He said, if we don't control our schedule will control us. If we don't find a way to live a balanced life, our lives will be out of balance. So, you know, we can go into work, we can put in 15 hours in a day and say, oh, I put in that 15 hours a day. But I completely agree with you that if we are just kind of meandering through our stuff that we have to get done, are we really being that productive? And eventually it'll show, right? If you don't get the work done, eventually that comes out.
No, absolutely. You're spot on. And then time and time again, you see that. So, you know, in saying that, what really is a work-life balance, Bridget?
Work-life balance means that you understand what your scope of your job really is. You understand what you need to get done in a day, but that you have the ability to shut that off at a certain time period, go home and deal with what you need to. So I once heard that success is in the routine, right? So if we have our routines, if we build a routine around ourselves instead of living in chaos, we build this routine that we say, you know, from 5 o'clock to 5:20, I'm going to meditate from this, you know, time to this time. It doesn't mean that we live our lives totally regimented and we don't allow for any fun or any spontaneity. But there is truth that if you have a routine, you find a way to make the things that are most important get done first. And then kind of the minutia and the weeds you take care of as you need to. So I think work-life balance really has to do with being able to shut off at a certain point and come home and do what you need to. Be a parent if you are a parent. You know, be a sibling. Take care of your nieces and nephews. You know, your dog, your health. Make sure that you're exercising both physically and mentally, keeping yourself prepared for the day that's going to come tomorrow.
How does one do that? I mean, we want to live a work-life balance, but, you know, It's rather hard. I mean, I got to be quite frank, especially in this day and age where it seems like, you know, you want to be the first one in the office and you want to be the last one to leave because that's recognized, you know, by management as, you know, that's a great, you know, he or she is a great employee because they're the first one here, the last one leaves. You know, how can you be that person that come in on time and leave at 5 or 6 to go watch a kid play, but you are productive in between all that? You're actually doing what you're supposed to do, you know, going above and beyond and then leaving, but it doesn't look like, you know, from your coworkers or from, you know, upper management that you're actually, you know, putting in that extra time.
So what we fail to do a lot of times that are not only in our personal lives but in our professional lives is we fail to have the communication channel open. If you have a manager that has the unwritten expectation of you need to be here at 7 and you're not leaving till 6 and, you know, doesn't allow you to go to your baseball game for your child or a play or, you know, some event that you need to go to, then I'm not sure that they're an effective leader either. So you become a leader by leading by example. And it doesn't mean that you're shirking your responsibilities, but you have to open the lines of communication. So you go to your manager to have the work-life balance, you know, conversation with your manager and say, you know, what are your expectations of me for this position? You know, do I have the ability that if Johnny has a baseball game at 5:30 that I can leave at 4:30 and I can get there and maybe come in earlier one day during the week or stay later another day during the week? Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of flexibility that can be found within a position, even if it says this job is from 9 to 5 and that's it, right? So
yeah.
We need to open the lines of communication. We need to find out what the expectation of the employer is and that particular manager if you work in a larger operation, or you need to find out what your deal breaker is too. Are you willing to accept that there is no flexibility in a position? And if you are, then you brought that on yourself and you need to understand that you're going to have disappointments. Communication is the key.
Yeah, and that's huge across the board. I mean, that's why they say we have that open door policy. You have to utilize it sometime. And what I always do, you know, I made note that, you know, I wasn't, you know, when I was, you know, doing the Merrill Lynch thing, doing the Morgan Stanley thing, I had to travel a lot. But when I saw that my kids were hitting a certain age and they were active in, you know, their sports and, you know, just, you know, things outside of school, I made a note to myself that I want to make sure that I participate in those activities, you know, if I can coach, you know, and just try to, you know, be more active. So, and I know that if you're not in a certain position, it could be somewhat challenging, but what are some other obstacles that you see people have to struggle with when it comes to trying to establish that right balance as it relates to a work-life balance?
Okay. So let's take a look at the manager that works 80 hours a week and they complain to everybody, oh, look at all the hours that I'm working. Look how dedicated I am. I never say no. So we've all seen that manager. We've all worked with a manager like that or a coworker. But in the end, what happens? Their shelf life becomes 2 to 3 years. They burn out after a certain amount of time. They wind up in the hospital with health issues. Because they're so stressed out all the time. It is okay, and there is nothing wrong to loving your work and wanting to apply yourself, but if your work becomes more than your life, you're not good to anybody. So,
now, what do you mean by that? If your work becomes your life, more than your life, like, what do you mean by that?
Well, if you are so obsessed with your job that you're there 15 hours a day, 6 days a week, you're working, you know, sometimes 7, and your family's going, hey, Mom, where are you? And I've had that happen to me. I worked at Comcast, and when I was at Comcast, I was on the road. I missed 8 weeks of my son's life in a row.
Wow.
I was on the road. And he called me during the 7th week, and I'll never forget it, and he was in tears. Mom, I miss you. Where are you? Please come home. I don't want to be at Grandma's house anymore. And it broke my heart. And when I went to my boss and I said, I can no longer do back-to-back audits like this. I need to be home for my son. And my boss said, hey, that was a huge expectation on our end. You know, great. And we started scheduling differently. But I had to have that conversation with them first. So when you put your work before you put anything else, it's not necessarily a good thing because, one, you're not getting fresh ideas. You're getting caught in the cogs of the wheel. And, two, you're getting tied down by the minutiae. Mistakes are always going to be made in business, and some of them are fixable. Some of them are not. However, the only way to grow is to get outside of our comfort zone and have maybe an uncomfortable conversation with somebody who says, listen, I cannot keep working at this pace. You know, do you value me as an employee of the organization? I value the organization. And start a dialogue. And if you are working for somebody who's completely unreasonable, in the long term, is that really going to be a place that you're going to stay anyway?
Wow. I mean, you brought up some strong topics there. Now, how does one go about talking to their, you know, manager or, you know, senior level supervisor or someone of that, you know, caliber and trying to, you know, negotiate something like that?
I have found in my experience, and I'll speak to an example that just happened to me recently. I've been a high-level accountant and research analyst for a very long time. I was the CEO of a multi-million-dollar company of my own creation. So I do have quite a bit of experience being at the top. When I moved here to the East Coast from the Midwest, I didn't have my credentials. And so people weren't taking me seriously. So even though I had been at the top, I found myself now, I was a billing clerk, and I had to work my way up through the channels in order to get back to management level. And during that time, I had a manager who was particularly difficult on me. And he would frown upon me that I would have to leave at 5 o'clock to go get my son at the daycare. And one day I sat down and I said, I wrote him an email, and it was you got to take the emotion out of things when you're having that initial conversation. You don't want to necessarily run into their office in tears or in a fit of rage. That's not a great way to start a conversation. I calmly sat down, I calmly wrote an email saying, I would like to schedule 20 minutes of time with you to go over these following issues that I have. And I created a list of the top 3 issues that were really upsetting me about my job. And when I had my meeting with this manager, he listened instead of interrupting me. And I was missing a lot of work because my son, unfortunately, had taken ill and was in and out of the hospital. So it was compounded that during the day, sometimes I had to go to the hospital to talk to a doctor, or I had to go and administer medicine at the daycare. So it was very disruptive, and I understand that that's disruptive to business. And HR had called me down and said, you know, we're going to have to let you go if you miss any more work. So I had this meeting with him, and in the end, they saw the value of what I could bring to the organization, and they got me a laptop, and they got me a logon for a VPN. And they said, you know what? We value you as part of the organization. We know what kind of work you can produce, and we know that you have to work odd hours right now. So we are willing to invest in you. Here's a laptop. Here's a VPN. Please log on, and we'll keep track of your hours. Because at that point, I was still an hourly employee. Mm-hmm. So just having that initial conversation, you know, here HR is coming after me saying, you're going to get fired for missing work because your son is ill. And they're not firing me because my son is ill. They're firing me because of excessive absenteeism,
yeah,
which is a dismissible offense.
Mm-hmm.
But then my manager came back to me and said, listen, I think you do great work. Here's a laptop. Let's work around this issue. We know it's temporary, and I'm so sorry for your son. Now, if I hadn't had that conversation with him about how much I valued myself and valued my job, HR probably would have stepped in and just fired me. But he went to HR and said, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to allow this to happen. She has access to the network from the outside. Problem solved. Do you get a happy ending in every situation? No, you don't. But sometimes it changes and alters your career path, which leads you down another road that's even more conducive to your learning, growing, and becoming a more valuable employee.
I mean, that's just a phenomenal story to hear. And kudos to that manager who really stepped up and allowed that to take place for you. And so in a corporate environment, you know, how does, you know, because, you know, we're not always going to have managers like that. But obviously,
no, absolutely.
So, So if someone's looking, or someone's actually in the job market right now, and they're looking to be a part of a company, and obviously, in this day and age, and you really want that work-life balance. Now, how does a corporate culture cultivate this?
Okay, so if you have a candidate who is actually looking for a position, it starts with the interview questions, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so some of the interview questions you have to ask have to be a little bit more creative in order to find out really what's the culture in the company. Recently, I went on an interview, and it was an interview that I had to conduct for my doctorate that I'm getting. And the interview was with a manufacturing company, and I wanted to find out what kind of culture that we had this very conversation. And so I asked some rather leading questions. And one of the questions I asked was, what would you do if you had an employee that was either sick or had a child that was sick and missed a great deal of work? How do you deal with that? Do you automatically terminate the employee? Do you make them take family medical leave? Or do you give them a flexible schedule to work around, what's going on? And the CEO sat back and he looked right at me and he said, we just dealt with this very situation. And I said, really? Can you tell me about it? I said, you don't have to tell me who. Just give me a little insight. And he said, we had a bookkeeper and her work was okay. It was never great. And she became very ill. And we didn't know what to do with it because we obviously could have gotten somebody in who had better accounting acumen than she did. But we valued her as a person to the organization because she's been here for 15 years.
Wow.
So we worked around her schedule. We took her to hourly, which allowed her to work the hours that she could without losing any of the benefits, they kept her health insurance, they kept everything else going for her. And he said, I never want to create a place where people can't come to talk to me or can't help me understand that there's something personal going on in their lives. And I thought,
Wow.
that's how you find out about a company culture. You ask them about a particular situation, and at first it may seem very odd to them, but you can find out a lot about the person who is interviewing you with their answers and also what kind of environment you may be working in.
Yeah, because that's a question that would throw me off as as a person doing an interview. I wouldn't know how to explain that. I would be caught off guard with that,
Absolutely.
Wow.
I had
Yeah.
one person ask me one time about time travel. How do you feel about time travel? Now, most people would be like, I don't know, it doesn't exist. But for me, it was, okay, am I traveling with a TARDIS like Doctor Who, or am I doing Star Trek with a transporter? What kind of time travel are we doing here? So, you have to be creative in your explanations as well as your questions. But in order to really find out about corporate culture, do your homework. Find out about the company. Find out how long they've been around. Do your simple LexisNexis and search on the internet. Look at their website, LinkedIn. And then once you get the interview, ask the right questions. You ask your typical, what's your size? What was your revenue last year? Have you ever not made payroll? But then you can start to ask about the culture by injecting yourself into the culture. So, what would you do if this happened? What would you do? How would you handle it if you did this?
Wow.
Well,
Now,
that's the
what
only
would
way
the signs
you're ever
be?
going to find that out.
Yeah. Now, what signs are out there, or is there anything such as that where you can actually say that company is not conducive to a work-life balance? Is there anything that jumps off or pops out at you that you should say, all right, red flag, red flag?
There are lots of red flags to look for. Number one, how long have they been in existence? Are they a startup and have they had a high rate of turnover? Turnover is going to indicate to you If people are constantly vacating positions, that may be a sign that there are some issues going on. Now, just because they're posting 5 or 6 positions that are open doesn't mean that you should run from that interview, because I believe every interview is absolutely important. However, the question to ask then becomes, why do you have so many vacancies right now? Are you in growth mode, or did you have a lot of people, you know, vacate their positions? So, and if you have somebody who is good at, you know, assaging people and kind of making sure that everything's going well, they'll come back and say, listen, we're in growth mode. This is why we're hiring. We did have some turnover, but the turnover was people who were here far too long that weren't producing, you know. And then you can kind of take a step back and go, okay, can you tell me a little bit more about that? What do you mean they're not producing? What is it that you're specifically looking for in this particular position? And then you can start this dialogue, and you will also get the converse of that, though. Well, we just have, you know, a high turnover rate. Okay, well, that may be a place that sends up a red flag going, if he's not going to explain to me, I'm not sure that might be a good fit for me.
Now, I appreciate everything you're saying, but, you know, certain lines of businesses, certain lines of work, and we talked about this earlier, that does not become, you know, doesn't. Now if, you know, say if you're an accountant, and we talked about this earlier today, and you're doing those, you know, the month-end closing, you know, year-end stuff, how do you avoid, you know, how do you create a work-life balance when you know for the next 2-3 weeks, you're going to be putting in some serious time, coming home at 12, 1 o'clock. How do you – you just can't avoid it, correct?
There are times where you will be put in that situation where you have to work longer hours. And, again, communication is the key. You communicate ahead of time to your family if you know you're going to be put into a situation like that. I know for myself as an accounting manager and an accounting person that there are times where companies believe that they need to have the 24-hour-a-day close for whatever reason, and that's just not true. You know, if you practice really good accounting practices, because we see this a lot in the accounting department where, oh, I was here there till 2:30 in the morning, I was there till midnight working on the close. There are a lot of things that you can do prior to the close to get ready. And again, success is in the routine. You create the checklist, you create the things and have the tools and resources in your life that are going to keep you organized, that are going to keep you efficient, and that are going to show, you know what, this is an area I need to work on. Knowing what our deficiencies are doesn't mean we're weak, doesn't mean we're terrible people. It just means there are places in our lives that we can improve. Communication is one area where most people can improve. Having the tools and the resources to keep organized, a lot of people are not organized. A lot of people, you know, they come to work 5 minutes late every day, and those things happen. So we need to be prepared. Right? So what are you going to put in your bag of tricks of being prepared? Well, if I know that my expectation is month-end close, it's a 5-day close, and I have to work 10 hours a day, I'm going to have the conversation with my husband and my kids and say, listen, you guys, mommy's having month-end close. Here's the schedule. It's on the calendar, so everybody knows it. I've already pre-made the meals. I've already hired the babysitter. And then when I'm done, we're going to do something fun, right? So you can plan in advance. So fun is essential to mastering the serious side of life, right?
There you go.
It provides the balance and it keeps us sane. So fun is the litmus test, right? It keeps us sane.
Mm-hmm.
And reconnecting with your family after working a horrific schedule like that, that can be really fun.
That's always fun. Especially if your wife looks good.
You know, my husband often says that. I don't know why. Now I know.
No, but this is all great stuff. Now, I have a question for you, because we might have some listeners or, you know, followers out there that, you know, they're looking for someone like, now, if you came into an organization that was somewhat, you know, they weren't drinking the Kool-Aid of the work-life balance, and it sounds like that you really believe in that.
I do.
How would you impact that company without negatively affecting what that, you know, that leadership thinks you have to put in those hours?
Well, the first thing I would do is I would take stock in what's going on in the company now, mm-hmm. right? The job of any good manager is to find out what's being done first and then go in and change the processes. We have to know where we come from in order to know where we go. You can't do an accurate forecast unless you have historical data to work on. So it's important that if I were coming into an organization and I were to make any suggestions at all, I would want to know, what is the management style? What's already being done? How many department heads are there? Do they have weekly stand-up meetings? What do they expect out of their workers? You know, do we have a lot of HR complaints? You know, what's going on in the culture of the company currently in order for me to erode the negative things and influence the positive? So we always want to keep things positive. We always want to, if we see a negative situation, try and learn from it and make it a positive. So if they have a situation, for instance, that their receptionist is working from 7 in the morning until 7 at night, and she's doing that 5 days a week, and she's only getting an hour break, that's a lot, especially if it's a, you know, multi-line switchboard that she's working on. That's a lot for any one person to handle. So is there a way to get a rotation that she can go home and be with her family? That might be one way. You know, let's take a look at the process.
Loving it, loving it, loving it. You could be my boss any day.
Oh, you'd be treated like a king if I was your boss.
There you go. No, but this is great stuff, and I'm glad you were able to be a part of our podcast today. I want to open up the opportunity because, you know, obviously for all my listeners out there and followers, you know, I wanted to, you know, extended invitation to Bridget because, one, as you see, she's a knowledgeable person. She has a strong background, and she has a belief system that, like I said, it can fall in place and become an asset with any company, you know, because, and I have to tell you guys, if you've seen her resume and what she's working on right now and what she's been a part of, just a stellar individual. And again, that's why I wanted to offer the opportunity for her to be on our podcast. But in addition to that, you know, because we do have listeners out there, Bridget, and they might be, you know, looking for someone to step in and take, like, you know, a finance director role or, you know, controller role or even a, you know, a CFO role. You know, what can you impart to those listeners out there to tell them, to let them know that you would be a great prospect for those type of positions?
I think the biggest thing is that I'm always willing to learn. And I've developed a very specific personal growth plan for myself, and that's the key, is that you're in an environment that you will learn something, you will grow from it, and that you can add value. And when it comes to being in a C-level position, I've had several of them now, I have found that changing the corporate culture is difficult but not impossible, and that keeping your skills fresh, understanding what the market needs are, understanding your strategic planning and writing it down and getting a routine going and getting the risks and assessment of the risks in the marketplace together in one place and disseminating that throughout the culture of the company, you can build really great things and develop really good teams from that. And other people who are looking for those type of positions, continue learning. Get a personal growth plan together. You're never going to reach the next level unless you invest in yourself and invest in the time that you're willing to look for the position that's a right fit for you.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. That is all good stuff. And I hope everyone out there had an opportunity to listen. And if I was you guys, and I forgot to bring this up, I would have had my notepad and my pencil out, and I would have been taking notes because Bridget was taking you to school today. But in saying that, that's that. You know, I got to throw the little Philly thing in there. In saying that, we want to, again, thank Bridget for being a part of our broadcast. And for those listeners or followers out there that have an interest in actually wanting to learn more about Bridget and want us to be in a position to connect those dots, definitely send me a LinkedIn message. Definitely, you know, shoot me an email or give me a call. All that information you can find on my LinkedIn account and, you know, all the other social media components that we're attached to. But again, it was a pleasure having everyone on the broadcast listening. And as we always end it, you know, the perfect candidate plus the perfect client equals the perfect connection. So until next week, I bid everyone a great evening, and we'll talk to you later. Take care.